Srila Prabhupada Ki, Shri Bhakti Vaibhava Ki, Garantara, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Giriraj Maharaj Ki, Sriman Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki, Jainitai Gopremanandi. So what have we discussed in last week's class? So, we're hearing about the debate which is taking place between the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas. So the Yamadutas have explained their reasoning why they mistakenly took Ajamil from the or towards the court of Yamaraj. They were stopped by the Vishnudutas, and the Vishnudutas are now explaining to them why it is improper for Ajamil to be taken. So tonight we'll go from verses 12 to 21, and we will hear about the further explanation of why it was not necessary for the Yamadutas to take Ajamil to Yamaraja's court, based upon the judgment of the Vishnudutas, who are pure devotees of Lord Vishnu. So we'll hear about the glories of the holy name and how the holy name is the ultimate type of atonement, and how the holy name destroys more sins than one can commit, even in countless lifetimes. Like that, so. Okay. So we'll begin with verse number 12. The ritualistic ceremonies of atonement recommended in the religious scriptures are insufficient to cleanse the heart absolutely, because after atonement, one's mind again runs toward material activities. Consequently, for one who wants liberation from the fruitive reactions of material activities, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra or glorification of the name, fame and pastimes of the Lord is recommended as the most perfect process of atonement, because such chanting eradicates the dirt from one's heart completely.
The statements in this verse have been confirmed previously in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimadam Vahakata Krishna, Vunya Sravana Kirtana, Udayantara Prodhi Abhadrani, Vidhu Mokhi Kirtana. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart and the benefactor. character of the truthful devotee cleanses desire for material enjoyment in the heart of the devotee to relish the supreme status, which are the depths of virtues and properly imperfect character. It is a special mercy of the Supreme God that as soon as he knows that one is glorifying his name, fame and attributes, he certainly has a tendency to judge in one's heart. Therefore, simply by such glorification, one not only becomes purified, but also achieves the result of five sanctities, Punyashravana Kirtana. Punyashravana Kirtana refers to the process of devotion service. Even if one does not understand the meaning of the Lord's name, concept or attributes, one is purified simply by hearing or chanting of them. Such purification is called Sattva.
Thank you. Any points so far?
Guru Swami, Swami describes in his book the three days which are in Krishna meditation. So he says there is the first day of Pavitya, the second day of Aparada, and the third day of Anartha. So he's saying that the Avidya is removed by the spiritual master. Aparada is supposed to be removed by us through simple endeavor. And when Aparada is removed, the Sankirtan is performed without any offenses, and Krishna will wipe out the other class. So here, this verse is mentioned that Krishna is driving out the anarthas, emotion, anchorage from the heart of the devotee who is taken to the place of the kingdom of Krishna. Doing the offenses.
Yes, any other point? Any other points?
Radhanath Maharaj quotes in his book about Mother Teresa, and she was asked, how is that she is able to do such wonderful service day after day, and then she takes off her chanting piece and goes to the classroom.
Any other points?
The other persons in the second one which have been described, they are merely an endeavor on the part of the sadhaka. So the process of the bhakti also has actually endeavor is one part, and the mercy of the Supreme Lord is another part. So here it's Krishna and Deva and Kanta from the Lord's Supreme Mercy system. So that's what they are doing.
Anything else? So
Sadhana is the same as the other Supreme Lord?
That's where it depends, but Sattva Bhavana.
Yeah,
you could play about that, yeah. Anything? So, as Siddhiraja Prabhu pointed out, quoting from His Holiness Mahanidhi Swami, then, the devotee must desire to have his consciousness purified. And if we have that desire, and if we are making serious endeavor through our sadhana and our devotional service, then Krishna will cleanse the heart of the dust which is accumulated there. So the devotee, as Prabhupada points out in one of the purports in the Bhagavad Gita, he must act like the sparrow who tried to empty the ocean. So the sparrow was going and emptying the ocean. And that is the endeavor of the devotee, or the desire of the devotee, to progress in Krishna consciousness and to purify one's heart. So if that is the desire of the devotee, then Krishna will reciprocate by cleansing the heart. But it is Krishna who must cleanse, or who will cleanse. The devotee desires, but we see time and time again in our own devotional service, as we try to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, that when we do endeavor, then Krishna assists us. He takes us to levels of devotional service or areas of devotional service which we could not attain on our own. Or he helps us to overcome obstacles which we could not attain on our own. So it is Krishna who reciprocates. And when the devotee is serious, then Krishna will purify the consciousness of the devotee. And if we look back through our devotional lives, we'll see many examples where Krishna has done this for us. I remember in 2001, we were at Mangalati at 4:30 in the morning, here in the temple. And it was Nisringa Chaturdasi, which is coming up this year in the beginning of May. So we just started the Mangalati Kirtan. I was leading the Kirtan. And I was chanting the Gurvashita prayers, Samsara Dhava. So I think when I chanted the first prayer or a few of the prayers. And then suddenly, some drunken men, they walked into the temple room. And they were in a very, drunk, and they were a little aggressive like that. So they came in, they disrupted everything, so the kirtan stopped. And they were drunk and they were bewildered, so they were looking around and kind of walking around. Devotees were kind of trying to pacify them. And then they were kind of drunk, and then they looked onto the altar and they saw the devotees were offering the ghee lamp. And I think you wanted that. So then they started to walk towards the altar, to walk onto the altar. So myself and several of the other devotees, we walked in front of them to stop them from going onto the altar. So they got angry and they began to chase us. So then I ran out of the temple room and I ran around in the dark, around behind Prabhupada's house and back up this way. And one of them was chasing me, and then he ran around the pot shed, and the pots were still there from the night before. So then I heard him smash, fall over all the pots, and he fell on the ground, and and then he was yelling, and he was very angry. And then he came back around, and by that time the devotees had rang the police, and then the police came and they got them and took them away. So because myself and several of the other devotees, because we stopped them from going onto the altar and we were trying to protect the deities, just because we did a small service on the Nisringa Chaturdasi, then Lord Nisringadevi reciprocated. And I know for myself that I experienced a great boost in my devotional service in that time on. So when we just make a little endeavor to try to please Krishna, then he will remove obstacles, which otherwise we could not remove ourselves, which would be too difficult for us to overcome. I know if I look back at that time, there were certain things which I was struggling with, but then suddenly it became far easier, because the Lord reciprocates. When you see the devotee does a little service, then he reciprocates and then he cleanses the heart. So therefore Chaitanya Charitamrita says that for one who remembers Lord Chaitanya, even the most difficult things become easy, and one who forgets Lord Chaitanya, even the most easy things, they become difficult. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami says that if one remembers Lord Chaitanya, then a lame man can cross across mountains, a blind man can see, and a dumb man can recite eloquent poetry. So this is the potency of the Lord. So it is the Lord who is cleansing the heart. We are simply endeavouring. So if we make that endeavour, then Krishna will reciprocate with us and he will remove things which are otherwise very difficult for us to remove by ourselves. Now secondly, Prabhupada points out that when one performs devotional service, one automatically, punya shravana kirtana, automatically one develops punya or piety. So he gets reciprocation from the Lord. And we see that when devotees perform devotional service, even it says in the Bhagavatam, at the end of the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj and the pastime of Varaha Dev, you'll see there are benedictions which are given. So it even says that you get material benediction. Your life will increase, your wealth may increase, your prosperity, the auspicious things in your life. So when you perform devotional service, automatically by the Lord's blessings, because he is pleased, even material benefits come. But we must be careful not to become motivated in our devotional service. Well, the Bhagavatam says that if I do bhakti, I'll become wealthier, and I will live longer, and I will have more children, and like this. So that should not be our motivation. But still, the power of devotional service is that one gets all auspiciousness. When one performs bhakti, then even materially, things become very auspicious in the devotee's life. So we experience that in our lives, practically. The Lord looks after us in so many ways. Krishna gives us so much. Devotees, we don't really have anxiety, really. And if we do have anxiety, that is Krishna's mercy, to make us more dependent upon Him. But really, devotees, generally speaking, I don't think we have so much anxiety. So that is Krishna's mercy. When He sees you are serving Him, then He will give so much, even materially speaking. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that if you do not complete your devotional service, then you can take birth in the pious families of Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, who are very pious, devotionally inclined. So why would one take birth in those families? Because those families, they do not have to worry about material problems. Kshatriyas don't have to worry about material problems, they rule everything. So they're very opulent, right? Vaishyas don't have to worry about material things because they're wealthy. Now that Brahmanas don't have to worry about material things because everyone respects them in a civilized culture and they get so much charity. Brahmanas sometimes are very wealthy, extremely wealthy. Now they get so much charity and then they just give that away. They get so much one day, the next day they just distribute that. So this is Krishna's mercy, that if you serve Him, even materially you can become greatly benefited. Any points?
If purification means the purification of the consciousness.
What's that?
The purification means the purification of the consciousness.
Yes. Okay. Any other points?
So I can give my own experience. 95 February I lost my father.
Okay.
And up to 99 December. For four and a half years, I had excruciating pain in my heart. But 99 December, the first time I finished reading Bhagavad Gita, then January I got my permanent job here in Australia, and turned to me.
Any other thoughts?
I was reading an article about there is one devotee in Chopati. His name is Radhika Devda. She's a Buddhist leader.
She's in the Bhakti Bhakti?
Not in the from the online article about it. Very amazing, the successful how she is so many thousands of people in a short period of time. World record distributor. For 3 years, I think she won that award. And what she says is, it's all because of the mercy of Krishna. She can feel that in every endeavor what she's making, Krishna's presence is there. So that's impossible becomes possible in the world. Very interesting.
Any other thoughts? Okay. Ranch, can you read the second?
Okay. One's main purpose in human life should be to purify his existence and achieve liberation. As long as one has a material body, one is understood to be impure. In such an impure material condition, one cannot enjoy a truly blissful life, although everyone seeks it. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam 5.6.5.1 says, Tapodikim putraka yena sattvam suddhin. One must perform tapasya, austerity, to purify his existence in order to come to the spiritual platform. The tapasya of chanting and glorifying the name, fame and attributes of the Lord is a very easy process by which everyone can be happy. Therefore, everyone who desires the ultimate cleansing of his heart must adopt this process. Other processes such as karma, jnana and yoga cannot cleanse the heart absolutely.
What are the points in this? Second paragraph.
Suppose one was in such a way to involve one another. during the creation when you wasn't sure what you were doing in terms of the construction. And in that paragraph also Prabhupada describes that an easygoing life and Krishna consciousness go in together. Prabhupada says that human life is meant for tapasya.
Karma, jnana and yoga, they deal with bhakti influences, which are only living in that. So by following the path, which leads to some sort of material perfection, cannot be the solution for removing the contaminations in the heart. One aspect of this thing is spiritual process is beyond this thing. So that point comes out in the last one. The bhakti is supreme in intervention only pure bhakti in the spirit of the heart. That is the procedure.
Any other thoughts?
Krishna says maybe the yajna dana tapasya is not. They are also intentioned to be even higher people should perform these acts.
Yeah, in devotional service. You do charity, you do devotional service, you do yajna, you do devotional service, and you do austerity, you do devotional service. So, tapasya, or austerity, it must be performed. If you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, or if you want to spread Krishna consciousness, then you must perform austerity. Otherwise, it's not possible to advance in spiritual life. And as Prabhupada says, you have to get up early in the morning. If you don't get up early in the morning, how will you advance in Krishna consciousness? Everyone experiences that our rounds are much better when we chant early in the morning. If we chant later in the day, most devotees, and they should become more advanced in your chanting, then I find that the quality of the chanting is not as good. Therefore, it is necessary for devotees to perform some austerity. Austerity means you have to go to bed early, you have to get up early, and you have to chant your rounds attentively. So in this way, you will progress. It means you have to do some austerity. So you won't progress in Krishna consciousness unless you do tapasya. And Krishna consciousness cannot be spread around the world unless we do tapasya. So we see those who do tapasya, they spread the movement the most. And who spreads the movement? The person who automatically comes to my mind is His Holiness Indrajumna Swami. So much tapasya, so much austerity. Like, just like you're reading his diary, sometimes they have to go out. He goes out at 4 o'clock in the morning on his program. Everyone else they won't start till 10 o'clock. He'll go out at 4 o'clock because there's some public square or space, and on that particular spot, then there are other people who are also going to come up and set up different displays besides his Festival of India. But he'll get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, go and find the best spot, and just stay there in the dark and the cold, sometimes even in the rain, and just wait and keep that spot. And then when his vans and his trucks and his buses arrive, then he's kept the best spot, so that then they can have the festival in the place where the public will get the most exposure to Christian consciousness. So this is austerity, complete austerity. But then he writes, and he often quotes, there's one particular letter which Srila Prabhupada wrote to Prabhu Vishnu Prabhu, who was our GBC until recently. He wrote a letter to him in the early 70s, and he said, Srila Prabhupada wrote in that letter, that you are doing so much austerity. Prabhu Vishnu Prabhu did so much austerity to spread Krishna consciousness in England, and then in Nepal, and then in Bangladesh. So much austerity to spread Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada said, you are doing so much austerity to spread Krishna consciousness. But he said, for you, it is just like play. It's enjoyment. You're in ecstasy. And you see Indrajumna Swami, and he often quotes it. So much austerity he's doing to spread this movement that for him it's like play. He's feeling ecstatic in Krishna consciousness. And he says that he cannot get enough of this kind of ecstasy in Krishna consciousness. So if we want to advance, we have to perform austerity for the pleasure of Krishna, both individually and to spread the movement. But for devotees, we don't feel like it's it's like Prabhupada explains, like drinking hot sugar cane juice. So it's so nice you can't stop it, but it is burning your lips. It is burning your throat. So it is hurting you, but at the same time you can't stop it, it's too nice. So that is what Krishna consciousness is like. Sometimes it is austere and we find it is difficult, just like I've been living at the farm last 4.5 years. So sometimes I think this is so difficult, this austerity. I wake up in the morning, I don't get to see all the wonderful devotees, I don't get to see their smiling faces like that. So then there's so much austerity. My only association practically is kangaroos. Not so easy like that. They don't reciprocate so much. Yeah, sometimes I ride my bike across the temple, they're there. And I say, hurry, Paul, like that. And they just go. No, they're not that interested in it. So, you know, there's austerity there. But then there's a sweetness, because we understand we're doing this for Krishna's pleasure. This is giving Guru and Krishna pleasure. So this is the sweetness in Krishna consciousness. So both things must be there. You cannot advance in Krishna consciousness until you start to take responsibility for spreading our movement. That is when you really advance. Otherwise your advancement can be there, it can be rapid. But you'll see the devotees who take responsibility to spread our movement, they are the ones who really advance rapidly. The anathas are burnt up rapidly because there's an intensity and there is a responsibility taken on behalf of Lord Chaitanya to not fall asleep in class and to fully surrender to Krishna. And this gives Krishna the greatest pleasure. So when the devotees take that responsibility, you see it, and you see in the world, those who take the responsibility, they're the ones who are rapidly advancing. And Prabhupada says you become recognized by Krishna. When you preach, you become recognized by Krishna. Krishna sees. And it's interesting because I've been listening to Tamal Krishnamurti's lectures recently. He's speaking a lot about Prabhupada. And he's saying that Prabhupada would recognize the devotees who took the most risk for preaching. And he said actually the original GBC, the original 11 or so members of the GBC, Prabhupada chose them, and Prabhupada said, I chose them because they took the most risk to spread our movement. So it's like Bhavananda Prabhu, he was thrown into jail in Mayapur, and they arrested him and threw him in jail. So much austerity they had to do with some of these devotees. He was led through the streets to the court wearing chains. So they had chains. There was a big crowd around him. They wanted to beat him like that. I mean, it was very austere. These devotees done great austerity. Bhavananda Prabhu was giving class one time in Mayapur a few years ago, and he was chastising everyone, because he likes to do that sometimes. He's very strong, heavy personality. Prabhupada said Tamal Krishnamurti was his right hand and Bhavananda Prabhu was his left hand. A very strong person. So Bhavananda Prabhu was giving class, and he said, giving class to so many devotees sitting there, and he said, what are all of you grihasthas doing? And he said, you just come here and you just live in Mayapur. You build your houses and you just live here. He said, me and Jayapataka, we did so much austerity to develop this project. And now you just come and you just live in your apartment. He said, this is not the mood. The mood is to sacrifice and spread Krishna consciousness, to do tapasya. And now that he's doing tapasya, they're doing tapasya to build that huge temple in Mayapur. Such a big austerity, such a big service to do. They're doing it. So in the beginning of the movement, when they were living in Mayapur, they had practically no facility. And Bhavananda Prabhu and Jayapataka Swami, they had to stay there, and they had to do so much austerity to spread our movement. Even though they were attacked by dacoits. You know, sometimes hundreds of dacoits would come. And Bhavananda Prabhu, they'd lock all the doors, they'd get up onto the roof. There was only one building then, the Lotus Building. So they'd lock all the doors, get up on the roof, and Bhavananda Prabhu with a gun, he would shoot them. And the dacoits would make them run away. It was the kind of austerity they had to do, to guard our movement. Right. And half of us, we can't even get up for Mangalati in the morning. Too much austerity. I have to do it. Like this. They were doing so much austerity. Even Tamal Krishnamurti was saying that he was in Mayapur in the very beginning, and Prabhupada was in that hut, you know, Prabhupada's hut. So that's all they had. This was even before the Lotus building. There's no building, it was just a hut. So half the hut was for Prabhupada, and the other hut was for everyone else. So tomorrow Krishnamurti, he was sleeping outside because it was hot in the evening, so he was sleeping, and about 2 in the morning someone was kicking him, and he woke up, you know, a little bit, it was dark and everything, he woke up and he looked up and it was Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was kicking him, and Prabhupada said, "You are snoring." Right? And he looked up at Prabhupada, he just woke up, he looked up at Prabhupada, he said, "I was not snoring." And Prabhupada said, "You were snoring." And he said, "No, I was not snoring." And he said, "You were snoring." Right? And Prabhupada said, "Go and sleep somewhere else." And then Prabhupada went back into the hut because Prabhupada got up to do his translation work. And Tamal Krishnamurti, you know, had to follow Prabhupada's orders, so he got up in the dark. He just thought, "Where am I going to sleep?" So he said he had three choices. He could sleep on the sand pile, the gravel pile, or the steel pile. For all the building that they were going to use to build the Lotus building. So he thought, well, the sand's probably the softest. So he went to the sand and then he made a little bed, walked over 20 meters away, lay down, went to sleep. This was the facility. He actually said that when they went to India in the beginning, he said there was no facility. And then he was married. He was married to, Tamal Krishnamurti was married at that time. He was GBC for India. He said Prabhupada never once asked them, "How is your grihastha ashram? Do you have enough facility? Do you have enough privacy? Are you spending enough time with your wife?" You know, Prabhupada, he never even asked these things. They're just going one city to the next city to the next city to spread the movement, right, continuously. This is the kind of austerity they were doing to spread Krishna consciousness. And then Tamal Krishnamurti came to Prabhupada and he said, "Prabhupada, I want to take sannyas." Yeah. And then Srila Prabhupada said, "No, I cannot give you sannyas. You have a young wife, she's also my disciple, and I must also protect her." And then Tamal Krishnamurti just kept pushing the point. Yeah. He kept coming to Prabhupada again and again and again to make this point to Prabhupada. "I want to take sannyas, I want to take sannyas." And then Prabhupada said, "Then what will happen to your wife? She'll be so distraught." And Tamal Krishnamurti said, "Well, she'll be distraught later on if I take sannyas anyway, so I might as well do it now. She's going to be unhappy in the future, so I might as well do it now." And Prabhupada said, "That's a good argument." So then Prabhupada gave him sannyas. He said, "Then you have to dye your cloth." And Tamal Krishnamurti said, "It's already dyed." He said, "You have to get a danda." He said, "It's already made." He said, "Okay, tomorrow. Vasant Panchami." And then Prabhupada gave him sannyas. So that's your... Okay. In Jaipur, in front of Radha Govinda. So then they were doing so much austerity in the beginning of our movement. So we have to learn this move. We can't do what they did. Devotees these days could not do what they did. But we must learn the mood of sacrifice to spread our Krishna consciousness. Any points?
Yeah, Kodakashmangi is similar. He is having so much physical disability, he still is preaching.
We could not even do what he does. No, actually, no one can do what he does. Even Tamal Krishnamurti said, no one preaches in this movement as much as Jagatak is. And actually, because Gauranand Prabhu, who is a good friend of mine, he's his personal servant a lot of the time, he said he's actually going into ecstasy, Jagatak is one. He's just crying continuously and calling out to Gauranga continuously. People don't see it because he doesn't do these things publicly, but he's continuously crying. He's gone into a very high state of ecstasy and delusion. Praying to Gaur in the tide. Because his body is practically finished and he can't stop preaching. And he's actually experiencing so much pain and difficulty because his body has sores on it. Because he has to lie down a lot of the time, so the body gets sore, and these sores are very painful.
Especially the leg.
Yeah, the leg and so many problems. So. And he doesn't stop. Right? And what happens to us? We just get a little material inconvenience, and then, "Oh, I can't do my service today because..." Okay, you know, like that. It doesn't take much to stop us in devotional service. But someone like Joe Sarkis, nothing can stop him in devotional service. Any other points?
this is the last sentence that the Dharma, Jnana, and Yoga. I mean, yoga means, I thought it was material.
Ashtanga
yoga.
Ashtanga yoga.
And the one thing in the first paragraph, I mean, if you don't understand the meaning of the Lord's name, past time, and attribute, then how can you get the expression?
That's what?
In the first paragraph, says, even if you don't understand, even if one does not understand the meaning of the Lord's name, past time, or attribute, one is purified simply by hearing or chanting of them.
Yes.
So, if you are not getting accepted, then how can you get the meaning?
Because, just like on Gopani, when is Gopani? Thursday, right? So then some of us will go out and we'll chant on the streets for Lord Chaitanya's pleasure. So many people will hear the holy name, but they don't understand what it is, but still they get purified. It destroys their sins just by hearing the holy name of Krishna.
So the
at the time of death, this Ajamila helplessly and very loudly chanted the holy name of the Lord, Narayana. That chanting alone has already freed him from the reactions of all sinful life. Therefore, O servants of Yamaraj, do not try to take him to your master for punishment in hellish conditions.
The Vishnu Dutas, who are superior authorities, gave orders to the Yamadutas, who did not know that Ajamil was no longer subject to tribulation in hellish life for his past sins, although he had chanted the holy name Narayana to vindicate his sons. The holy name is so transcendentally powerful that he was automatically freed because he had chanted the holy name while dying. Ante Narayana Smriti. As Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, 28th verse, persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated and who are freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. Unless one is freed from all sinful reactions, one cannot be promoted to the platform of devotional service. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 8.5 it is stated that Antakalesha Mam Eva Smaran Mukta Kalevaram Yaha Prayati Sa Mat Bhavam Yati Nasti Acha Sam Yaha Sam Saya. If one remembers Krishna, Narayana, at the time of death, one is certainly eligible to return immediately home back to Godhead.
What are the points in this?
Nitya Narayana.
What does it mean?
At the end, when we take the holy name, then we can go to the world.
So there must be a quality in the chanting. What is the quality of the chanting?
Sincere.
Attentive.
Yeah, without offensive, sincere. Do you think that will be enough to attract Krishna? What is the quality of the chanting? Prabhupada says, he gives the example just like when the child cries for the mother. When the child cries for the mother, then the mother immediately, she responds. Even like the children are out there, right? 50 children are out there. But when the child cries, then the mother knows exactly that is my child. And immediately the heart responds. So when Krishna hears us chanting like that, then he responds like that. So that has to be our cultivation. So on Gaura Panima, then you should try to cultivate that kind of chanting. Now, because this is Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. This is his teaching. You have to learn to chant with that quality that Srila Prabhupada taught us. Like the child is crying for the mother. This should be our meditation to improve our chanting. This kind of chanting will attract Krishna. Offenseless chanting, inattentive chanting is the beginning of that. But it has to go deeper at some point in time. So it means the chanting has to be cultivated. It has to be much, much more sincerity in the chanting. The chanting has to come from the just like His Holiness Sachinandan Swami, he organized these big kirtan melas, one in Mayapur just a couple of weeks ago, and one over in Germany last year. And you see on the videos, and constantly he is saying, and the other kirtan leaders saying, more heart, please. More heart in your chanting. Put your heart in your chanting. Chant from your heart. This will attract Krishna. When there are tears in the eyes, actually this is the quality of the chanting. Mahaprabhu kirtana nitya gita varitra majan manaso rasena romancha kampashu taranga bajo bande roshri charanara binda. Taranga bajo. That one? Yeah, put it there. That's not the one I wanted. Just put it there. Put it there. Go back to the car.
Okay.
Behind the passenger seat on the floor.
Uh-huh.
There's a white box. Yeah, bring that box. Oh, the box there. Just bring that box. So, Romancha, Kampashri, Taranga, Bajo. The hairs are falling on, the hairs are standing on end. The body is quivering. And this is the most important out of all the ecstatic symptoms, are tears in the eyes. That is the most important. And that is the quality of the chanting. The quality of the chanting means there must be tears in the eyes. Now you have to learn how to do this for Krishna. Indian people are very good at doing this. Indian people, they have tears in the eyes over everything practically. They're so soft-hearted. Prabhupada said to Bengali, he said to Prabhu Vishnu Prabhu, go and preach with the courage of an Englishman and the heart of a Bengali mother. Bengali mother. Even my friend Atul Krishna Prabhu, he's coming here in about 2 weeks' time. He'll be here. So his wife is Bengali. She's from Bangladesh. They're very soft-hearted people. So I gave Atul Krishna Prabhu a few years ago. I went to Mayapur and I gave him one photograph. Him and I were brahmacharis and we're going for a walk with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So in the photo there is Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Atul Krishna Prabhu is standing behind him. So I gave that to him and Atul began to cry because he was so touched when he remembered that moment like that. So then even more amazing is then his wife saw he was crying, so then immediately she comes and she looks at the photo and she starts to cry. So soft is the heart. In this culture, in this Vaishnava culture, tears are automatically in the eye. So this should be, it cannot be artificial, and it cannot be mechanically done. You can't just make the tears come.
Spontaneous.
Yeah, it has to be spontaneous. But it means that you have to cultivate your heart. This is what you have to search for in your heart, this kind of emotion for Krishna, when it should automatically come. It actually says in the Shastra that Krishna's irises, which means the white part of the eye, they're always reddish. Why? Because Krishna always has tears in the eye. Krishna always... Just here, here. Yeah. So Krishna always has tears in his eyes. Right? Because Krishna is always feeling love for his devotees. So... it is said that when we take one step towards Krishna, Krishna takes 10 steps towards us. When tears come in our eyes, then that will invoke the emotion in Krishna's heart. Krishna already has the emotion. But the Bhagavatam says in the second canto that our hearts are steel frames. Our hearts, we don't have tears in our eyes when we chant. We chant Hare Krishna mantra 16 rounds every day. We don't even, not one tear comes. Hands up, last time one tear came in your eye while you're chanting your 16 rounds.
When you lose money, you get
here. So how unfortunate are we? How unfortunate are we? So what does Lord Chaitanya say? Second verse of Shikshastika. Na na makari bahuda nijasava shaktias tatrapita niyamitaha smarane na kalaha etadrishi tarukripa bhagavan mamapi. Dudaivam. Dudaivam means you are unfortunate. How unfortunate are we? No tears. Nanu raga. No rag. Nothing. Not one tear. So what is the use of our chanting? No tears in the office. What's the use? The heart is like a steel frame. Right? You cannot cry for Krishna. So what is the point? What sort of devotee are you? So when will the tears come for Krishna? Okay. Will they come automatically? Will they just automatically appear? No. You have to work very hard. Krishna has become meaningful to you. So you have to cultivate this type of chant. So this is the type of chanting that we have to cultivate in Krishna consciousness. Any points?
There is a discount when you feel that this world is useless and you're just letting your
life. Yeah. That is 50%.
Okay.
As Srila Prabhupada says, 50% means we get rid of material desire. Mm-hmm. That's 50%. Mm-hmm. But the other 50% is attachment to Krishna. The first half, that means that's good. It means you're halfway home. Now you have to get the other half. Okay. The other half is a little more difficult.
I think that's good.
Could be. I haven't got that far yet, so. I can't say. Especially Yoga Maharaj emphasizes this point. Mm-hmm. And what's the point? If you can't love devotees, then how are we going to ever love Krishna? Just like one devotee came to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, I resign. And Prabhupada said, how do you resign from Krishna's service? How can you resign from Krishna's service? It's not possible. Okay. Another time the devotee came to Prabhupada, he said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I can serve you, but I cannot serve them, my God brothers, my God sisters. I can serve you, but I cannot serve them. And what did Prabhupada say? Prabhupada said, love me, love my dog. So proof that you love Prabhupada is that you love his followers. Because right now we have this whole kind of rhythmic philosophy. So what is that? That's what Prabhupada's philosophy. Only Prabhupada is pure and no one else is pure. No, that's not Prabhupada's philosophy. Prabhupada's above me, above the dog. It's the same. Okay. So if we can't love Krishna, if we can't love Krishna's devotees, we'll never love Krishna. We have to learn to love Krishna's devotees. Some of them are very special.
Did some of that happen especially to Indian bodies in India? They don't mind taking their boss children to movies and then taking them to school and giving them all these things. But when it comes to transcendental life,
what is the point?
On the material platform, it's so easy. This is a typical spike in India. If a guy wants to get promotion, he takes his boss dog to whatever grooming he requires. Or take his boss children to movies, schools, and spend the whole life in serving them so that he gets a promotion. Mm-hmm. Therefore, he doesn't mind doing that. But here, when it comes to transcendental platform, we hesitate to do the same thing.
Yeah, so then that shows our position. So what does Mahaprabhu teach? He says, I want to have, and Rupa Goswami, his follower, he also says this, I want to have that attraction for Krishna just like a young boy has to a young girl. Or the young girl has to the young boy. That's the kind of attraction. So all these things that will go so far in material life, but we won't go so far in spiritual life. So we have to learn that. We have to go so far in Krishna consciousness. It's like Gaupanim is coming. So now we can go so far. And then Janmashtami comes. So then we can go so far. Okay. So we have to learn that mood in devotional service. Okay. One who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately freed from the reactions of unlimited sins. Even if he chants indirectly, to indicate something else, jokingly, for musical entertainment, or even neglectfully, this is accepted by all the learned scholars of the scriptures.
Okay. So let's see here. We did write these up last week with the team. So this is the verse where these things are quoted. I think the most of you write this down. So you have the focus ready. Who does all this stuff? It looks like some kid. Do you know who does this? And you two, do you know who does this? You don't want to tell them your friends? You really don't. It's probably you, right? It's okay if they do it, just tell them if they can fix it up when they're finished. Harinam Chaitanya is an extremely important book to understand the science of the holy name, or to understand the philosophy of the holy name. Now, Harinam Chaitanya is a conversation between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur, in which, as Mahaprabhu often did with his associates, he would take the position of the student. And he would ask the associate, Haridas Thakur or Ramananda Roy, as example, to speak as the teacher. And both Ramananda Roy and Haridas Thakur say, actually it is you who are speaking. Not in my bad way, but you are inspiring us within the heart, and then we are speaking as if we are like puppets. We feel like it is you speaking through us. But then he would ask the questions and they would speak. So he would glorify his devotees. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he saw this conversation between Haridas Thakur and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he wrote that down in one book called Sri Harinam Chaitanya, and then he wrote a second book, which is his final work, called Bhajan Rahasya. These two books are very important. I've studied these two books, and they have a great deal of influence on your spiritual life. So it's very important to study these books, Harinam Chaitanya and Bhajan Rahasya, the first Harinam Chaitanya. Now, in the Harinam Chaitanya, Haridas Thakur, he quotes his, this verse, or he quotes the Bhagavatam, which is this verse we're just reading now, for the pastime of the Jamil, about the different types of chanting. So it's very important to understand this, these different types of chanting. So as we said, there are three types of chanting. Does everyone understand these three? Mm-hmm. Nama Aparad means you're chanting the offenses. Now, what are offenses? What are Aparad? There are ten, right? We, every morning, if you read the Harinam Chaitanya, we listen. There are 10 offenses in the chanting of the holy name, right? That's Nama Parat. Nama Bas, Abas means reflection, shadow, reflection. Before the sun comes up, we see light, dim light.
That dim light in the morning, that is called abhas, or like shadow light, or dim light. So namabhas means the full manifestation of the holy name has not come yet. It's some manifestation. It means when we chant, we feel something, we feel ecstasy many times. Like in the kirtan of Gopinim, we'll feel ecstasy in chanting. Ratha Yatra, we're chanting, we felt ecstasy. This is namabhas. It is not the full manifestation of the power of the name yet, but still we are feeling a great deal of ecstasy. This is another, this means we're clearing the offences. Sometimes we commit the offences, but it's not that we are past committing the offences, but we know what they are, and we're cautious not to commit them. So this is the clearing stage of chanting. And then shudanam is pure chanting. When you're chanting without offences, when you're chanting with love for Krishna, as we were speaking previously. Now, there are four types of namabhas. Now, I was speaking last week, and I said we would clarify this point. There are two types of namabhas. One is called Shraddha namabhas. Shraddha means faith. That is what we are doing as devotees. In other words, we understand the glories of the holy name. We understand Abhinitva Nama, Namino, that Krishna's name and Krishna are non-different. Therefore, we have faith in the chanting. When we're chanting, we understand this is Krishna. The name is not different from Krishna. And we're trying to realize Krishna through our chanting, through the process of chanting. This is chanting with faith. This is namabhas with Shraddha. But then there is namabhas without Shraddha. It means people, they don't understand the glory of the name. They chant the name, but they don't understand what they're chanting. So they don't have Shraddha. They don't understand this is good for me, or they don't understand this will benefit me, but they chant. So this is of four types, which is mentioned in this verse. Sanket, unintentional, parihas, guilty, soba, derisive, and hela, neglect. So these people, they chant like that. They chant derisively, they say Krishna's name, but in a condescending way, or in a neglectful way, or a joking way, or unintentionally. But still, it says in this section that we studied last week in the beginning of this chapter, even if one chants in one of these four ways, it destroys more sins than one can commit in countless lifetimes. So all the sins that one has committed in his previous lifetime, that is all destroyed. And even more sins than you can commit are destroyed just by chanting in namabhas, even in this without Shraddha or without faith. Unintentionally, someone just sees us on the street. Gopinim will go chanting. Some non-devotees see us go past. Right? And then after we pass, they're walking down. And they say, oh, I haven't seen the Hare Krishnas for a long time. So that's unintentionally. No knowledge, but no offense either. Like a Jamil. Wasn't thinking of Krishna, but no offense. Right? And he just said, Narayana, Narayana. Like that. And then more sins are atoned, are destroyed. That is the potency of the holy name. Now there is Chaya Namabhas and there is Pratibimba. No, Pratibimba means, distorted chanting means, it is reflected, Haridas Thakur says, he gives a nice example, the holy name is reflected upon the lake of Mayavad philosophy. Just like you see so many Mayavadis, they're chanting. You go to all the Mayavadi ashrams now, kirtan is becoming very big. Right? They don't believe that God is a person. They have a Mayavad conception of impersonalism, but they're chanting like anything now. The whole kirtan movement going around the world now. So it is Pratibimba. It is reflected onto the lake of Mayavad philosophy. So the holy name is on the lake of Mayavad philosophy. The holy name, because they are distorted in their mentality, because they think God is impersonal or is Brahman, then that is the best they can get is Suyuja Mukti. By chanting the holy name, they can get liberation into Brahman, but they cannot go to Goloka. Whereas if one chants in Namabhas, one can even go to Vaikuntha by that chanting. That is the potency of the chanting. In some rare occasions. Doesn't mean everyone. Doesn't mean, okay, that's it, now I can just relax now for the rest of my life, and then I'll just chant, and then, because, you know, now I'll just go to Vaikuntha. Not like that. Specifically, it doesn't say you'll go to Goloka. Okay. Even Namabhas can take you to Vaikuntha, but only Shuddhanam can take you to Goloka. You have to understand this point. where do we want to go? We want to go to Goloka. I want to go where my spiritual master is, and I know where he is. He's in Goloka. I want to go where Prabhupada is, and where's Prabhupada? In Goloka. I want to go where Radha and Krishna are, and Gaura and Nithaya. Where's that? That is Goloka. So that's should enough. But we have a lot more work to do. We don't get the easy job. We get the difficult job. Hands up if you like difficult jobs. I do. I like difficult things. I like challenging things. That's my personality. I like things to be challenging. I don't like easy things. You know, when you're on holiday, that should be easy. For the rest of the time, it should be focused. I like that. And that's what it means. To go to Goloka, it has to be it's challenging. It means we have to become very serious in our devotion. It's not easy to get to Goloka. It requires a great deal of effort on our behalf. Is this all clear? Anyone have any questions? Or what?
You have said about the three kinds of non-attendance.
Yep.
And then you have said four kinds of namala. Those three they come on the work of the day. The Shraddha and the Chaya and the Satyavinda.
Yeah, the four types are part of Namabha.
Yes.
Right? And they are part of Chaya Namabha, the shadow chain. Okay. There are four types of Chaya. But then in Chaya, there is Chaya without faith, and then there is Shraddha Chaya Namabha.
Chaya without.
Yeah, all of those four are in Chaya, without faith, and Chaya Namabha, Chaya Shraddha Namabha means chanting with faith. So Namabha says with faith, without faith.
The chaya means without faith.
No, it means other knowledge. Yeah. Shraddha.
Shadow.
Shadow.
Chaya.
Abhas means shadow. Reflection. Okay. Okay, so it must be a similar word to Abhas. Like that. So chaya Namabha. Okay, so. Hello? If you need.
Chaya Namabha are the same as
the Namabha. Yeah. Like I said, there's two types of chaya. One with faith, Shraddha Chaya, and one without faith. I'll explain it to you after class if you need further clarification.
Mm-hmm.
Ask me if I can do it quickly. I'll do it. If I can't, then I'll do it.
I couldn't understand how Namabha can lead one to life.
It is mentioned in the Shastra. It's mentioned in Harinachintamrita. It can even take it above Pinta. Ask me tomorrow and we'll try to do a bit more clarification. Okay. We'll keep going, and then if you have more questions, you can ask tomorrow. Okay. If one chants the holy name of Hari and then dies because of an accidental misfortune, such as falling from the top of a house, slipping and suffering broken bones while travelling on the road, being bitten by a serpent, being afflicted with pain and high fever, or being injured by a weapon, one is immediately absolved from having to enter hellish life, even though he is sinful. So chanting the holy name at the time of death protects you from inauspicious future situations. So how will you chant the holy name at the time of death? Right? You'll only chant the name at the time of death if you do sadhana during your life. You have to chant every day. But not mechanically. If you chant mechanically, then what will happen? At time of death, you might chant or you might not chant. But if you start feeling dependent upon Krishna while you're chanting, you're chanting your japa, but you're feeling dependent upon Krishna, right, which is part of sharanagati, or surrender to Krishna, then at the time of death, when you are tested, then you will automatically take shelter of him. But it's not so easy or not so automatic. So you have to practice. That's why our sadhana is full. All of our sadhana is tested at the time of death. Authorities who are learned, scholars, and sages have carefully ascertained that one should atone for the heaviest sins by undergoing a heavy process of atonement, and one should atone for lighter sins by undergoing lighter atonement. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, however, vanquishes all the effects of sinful activities, regardless of whether heavy or light. Although one may neutralize the reactions of sinful life through austerity, charity, vows, and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. However, if one serves the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, he is immediately freed from all such contaminations. As a fire burns dry grass to ashes, so the holy name of the Lord, whether chanted knowingly or unknowingly, burns to ashes without fail or the reactions of one's sinful activities. If a person, unaware of the effective potency of a certain medicine, takes that medicine or is forced to take it, it will act even without his knowledge because its potency does not depend on the patient's understanding. Similarly, even though one does not know the value of chanting the holy name of the Lord, if one chants knowingly or unknowingly, the chanting will be very effective. So two types of examples are given here. One is of fire, the other one is of medicine. So these are excellent examples which are given by Vishnu Dutas. So if you take medicine, even if you don't know what the medicine does or you don't understand it, then it will have effect. If you light a fire on grass, even if you don't understand what fire does, it will have effect. So similarly, the chanting of the holy name, even if people do not understand what it is doing, it has effect. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya's movement is to go and chant publicly. We should go out and we should spread the holy name. Because even if people don't understand it, it will have effect. Just like at the farm, one of the first things we did when we got to the farm, we put on a big signboard on the front of the road, Hare Krishna. Right? So thousands of people are driving past there every year, and they see Hare Krishna. Right? So they don't know that that is having effect, but that is destroying more sins than they can commit. So by chanting the holy name publicly, right, and the more exposure we get to our movement around the world, the more people chant the holy name of Krishna, it destroys more sins than they can commit. And it creates an auspicious atmosphere in the world. That's why Harinam has to be performed regularly. I think every week devotees go out several times. Harinam, a number of people. Even he took a vow, you know that brahmachari? From his Malaysian body, Australian, but Harinam, a number of people, I think most of you know him. His vow in Kartik a couple of years ago, I don't know what he did last Kartik, every day he did Harinam for the month of Kartik. Even sometimes he'd go down to St. Kilda with just one other devotee. Because every day he said he would do Harinam for at least half an hour on the street. So some days he'd get back from Crossways and he would go to St. Kilda and he would chant up and down the street with one other devotee doing Harinam. It's great because that was his brush. Okay. So now I think they're doing Harinam at least 3-4 times a week all around Melbourne. So you should also do this sometimes. Go out and chant the holy name in public. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, having thus perfectly judged the principles of devotional service, with reasoning and arguments, the order carriers of Lord Vishnu released the Brahmana Ajanya from the bondage of the Yamadutas and saved him from imminent death. My dear King Parikshit, O subduer of all enemies, after the servants of Yamaraj had been answered by the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, they went to Yamaraj and explained to him everything that had happened." So tomorrow night, the Yamadutas will go to Yamaraj and Yamaraj will respond to them. A very interesting conversation. Yamaraj's father is one of the 12. And actually in the next chapter he mentions who the 12 Mahajans are. Do you know who they are? You better learn them. The K and B. Okay. Please learn your K and B. Okay. Shilaprabhupada ki.